Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Let's fire it up. Danny and friends, Danny and Dusty, whatever your flavor is these days, the revolving door continues. Ryan Buckley here alongside Danny Meringue on the other side of the glass, Jeff Rust. How you doing, fellas?
Doing good, man. It's we got one day until the basketball runneth out on us.
That's right.
Got some golf in last night. Got my my proud Pacers gear on. My jump passes are good now. Shirt. Shout out Caitlin Cooper. Not to divert anyone away from our show, but she made an appearance with Zach Lowe previewing the Pacers series. If you want to like get real in the weeds with the best Pacers reporter out there, go check that out. Not right now. Later. I always want to plug Caitlin's work because she's incredible what she does, and she does not get the attention she deserves.
It's funny. I was on my way in listening to a podcast previewing the NBA Finals, and they were referencing her work there as well. So I know she does an excellent job.
She's incredible, and if she wants it, she should be either working for a team or as like the foremost expert X's and O's in the space. She's incredible what she does. I have tried to get her on the show all week, but the priorities...
They're a little busy?
Well, I mean, Zach Lowe gives you a call. ESPN gives you a call. It's okay, Caitlin. I'm not going to hold it against you.
Sorry, Dan.
Yeah, no. She's like, I'm swamped. And I'm like, do not apologize. You deserve every last bit of this. Go, please be on the bigger outlets outside of Portland, Oregon. But no, this is like... And it's, of course, somebody out there is right now, it's raining, it's good for the state, make it green. Shut up, get rid of the rain, it's June. I'm sick and tired of it already.
It's going to hit 90 this weekend, apparently.
Yeah, I know, right? which I'm all about. But okay. At the same time, my body's probably like, thank God for the rain, because maybe it'll quell these allergies, because I mentioned this yesterday, I lost the war. Buddy, I've lost two wars.
Yeah.
I golfed last night, and as the sun starts to go down, all of a sudden I'm like, it's not like dark, but it's lower light. And I went, oh, crap.
You can see it?
Well, not just that. I couldn't see.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Like the combination of like my eyes being like rubbed raw and red because I'm a child and I just continue to rub them until they.
We know how that goes.
Yeah. But then I realized I like took my glasses off, like, you know, did one of these back and forth 10 times. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I'm 40, low light. Like I was struggling to like track the ball.
Am I cooked?
Like, and I, yeah, I was like, is my prescription, like, first thing, my prescription's not good. And I'm like, oh no, I'm just, I'm old.
Well, you're old and the environment was conspiring against you. We'll go with
but
that.
Like, this was like my eyes are complete trash. One's 20 negative 400, the other one's 20 negative 500.
Okay.
My eyes work independently. I have astigmatism.
I have astigmatism, but I don't have it. I don't need the assistance nearly as much as that.
Yeah. I have one farsighted eye, one nearsighted eye.
I'm the same way.
That's got to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the same way. Mine aren't terrible either way, but it's just enough where they need some correction.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine. So I had to do this. I don't know if you were to do this, Rust. I had to do this drill where this is perfect. You take the tip of a ballpoint pen and you concentrate on it until, because I naturally have double vision.
Danny, I think they call this a sobriety test when the officer.
Yeah, no. Stone cold sober, I will fail it.
Can you recite the alphabet backwards?
So I did.
I couldn't do it sober. I mean, what?
I did a, I got pulled over once. And he thought I had been drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened was I dropped something in my car,
sure.
and I did a quick swerve, grabbed it, but it was like, you know, 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I was actually coming home from doing TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, do you mind doing a field sobriety test? I go, I'll tell you what, I'll do it, and then I'll blow in a breathalyzer.
Because the first one you're going to do, I told him flat out, it's not going to work.
I'm going to fail.
Yeah.
Like 100% I'm going to fail this because my eyes don't, they, like, what ends up happening is, this doesn't really work on radio, so I'll describe it. Is naturally I have double vision, but because I did this for, God, 10, 15 years as a kid, I would literally sit there in class and do this back and forth. And I had to start it with about, you know, 18 inches from my face and then work it in, like pull it closer to my face.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening is eventually it will just pop into double vision. But I had to keep it there as long as humanly possible.
To try to get it, to try to
train,
to correct.
To try to train my eyes to where it would do it naturally.
Did it work?
It did for the most part. Like, I don't see double vision unless I relax my eyes,
okay.
which is why it's actually really hard for me to wear glasses for a long period of time, because your focus point in your glasses is the center.
Yeah.
Where contacts, it's just,
it's the
whole lens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is like, this is very in the weeds, but I would be sitting there and people would be looking at me in class like, what is this idiot doing? Like, going back and forth with this pen. It's just like, no, I'm just blind. I have to learn how to, like, keep my, I tell you what, when I got glasses when I was 12, and I will remember this line forever. I'm driving home from the optometrist. I'm not driving. My mom's driving. And I look out into this field in Hillsboro, and I go, oh, my God, I can see individual blades of grass. And my mom just, like, starts sobbing because she said nobody had any idea that I was that blind.
Yeah.
I don't know how I made it through all the elementary school, like, vision tests.
Well, I imagine, like, you get to a point where, like, that because that's your normal for so long, you don't think to tell people that, like, oh, this is a real problem for me. You're
well,
like,
well,
this is how it
kid.
Is.
I was a nerdy kid. I sat in the front row.
Yeah.
Like, I was always a front row kid. Like, I was just a complete dork, you know? And it was just one of those things where I would do this and squint a little bit, but I process audio.
Sure.
So I don't, like, I can have my head down and not look at the board and stuff like that, the way my brain works. But it was funny. It was like, I was a pitcher growing up.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, my strike zone got a lot tighter when I got glasses. I stopped drilling kids in the middle of the rib cage.
I swear I threw that in the zone. Yeah, it was the wrong zone.
Yeah,
you're seeing
two of them again. And it was like one of those things where it was just like, it was so dumb. But yeah, I felt in that moment, I was playing with a younger kid. He was trying to find his ball, and I could not. I'm like, bro, I can't help you. I can't. Like, I'm like, that's not. I'm doing the hard old man squint, and it was rough, brother.
I'm notoriously bad at tracking my golf ball anyways, even when I hit good shots. So you give me allergies, low light, it borders on disaster very quickly.
I will say, though, I played Charbonneau for the first time in maybe a decade. That was actually, I think, maybe the first course I ever played up here. That place is immaculate.
I love Charbonneau.
It's an executive course, so it's super short. But the groundskeepers there are the same ones they have at Langdon, which, for those that don't know, Charbonneau is literally across the street.
Right
from
down
Langdon.
The road, yeah.
It is the most well-kept old people community course I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's a par 68, no par fives.
No par fives.
But they have 3 9-hole courses, so you kind of get to rotate them. And the greens fees are reasonable. The course, as you said.
It's $26.
Yeah.
$26
for really quality golf. If you don't,
and you can
need all the yardage,
you can walk it because it's flat as hell.
Yep.
And it's like I was telling you before the show. This is for the first time since my hip surgeries, I walked the course yesterday, and my calf's a little tweaked right now. Because,
but tip of the cap, that's a milestone, man.
It's, you know, hopefully by the end of my goal is by the end of the golf season that I can walk Chehalem. Not carry the bag. We're pushing. We're not
even
carrying.
So,
that's a tough. The slope.
You get the peaks and the valleys.
I think Chehalem might have the biggest slope in the state.
It's possible.
It is nuts how many peaks and valleys there are through there. And for a course that's not in the mountains, it's just like, because it's literally in the Willamette Valley.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, no, like I said, I've become a full on golf psychopath. So
I saw this Reddit post, and it seems apropos here. Do you have any phrases that you go to when your buddy hits a crappy shot, and then you have to comment something? So you want to, like, you're not going to totally drag him, but you also want to be encouraging, but you also don't want to be disingenuous. Like,
it depends on how many crappy shots they've had during the day.
Okay, yeah, like, that's fair.
First one, I'm dragging him.
Yeah,
dragging him.
Sure.
You know, we're having a little bit of fun. If the day's going in the basket, then you're throwing a jab, but it's lighthearted. It's much more. If it's going really, really sideways, it's like, hey man, sorry.
The top one I saw was where you know your buddy blades it going into the green, and you go sit, and you're like, that sucker ain't sitting.
No, that's a great one. The guy I was playing with yesterday, I had that shot. I hit a freaking 3-wood off the tee, smashed it down the fairway, and I joked to him, I'm going to step up with this freaking 60-degree, and I'm going to blade the hell out of this thing. And he's like, nah, you're good. You can't hit a shot like that and then follow it up, and then freaking smacked it into the back of the green. I'm like...
The other one my buddy always uses is, I think it opens up over there when your tee shot is errant and you're like, hey, I think it opens up over there.
But it's people actually say that to me because, like, I spend a lot of time on the right side of the fairway, and you do, like, you got to get lucky. And if it does open up, like, you get a lane, you know, you get that lane and you're like, hell yes. But, yeah, no, it's been fun. But I saw there was, like, the best, like, one-liners, and I saw one was, like, missing a short 4-foot putt. It's like, it's the old Danny DeVito, the old tough 4-footer. And I was like, ooh, that's a good one. I'm keeping that for later.
I like that. Yeah. The Danny DeVito, that's solid. And then the other one that people use, it's akin to the bite, or the sit, where you just, you know, that isn't happening.
You know what's irritating is when you think it is, though. Like, the kid I was playing with yesterday, he was pretty solid. He had a couple shots that, you know, short game, where it looked like he had a ton of backspin on the ball. And it, you know, goes way up, looks like it's spinning, it hits, and then it just releases and goes forward. And you're like, what the physics on that didn't seem to make sense. But yeah, it's, I always, especially with people I don't know, because I live out in Newburg, it's harder to get guys to come out there. And so I do a lot of solos.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually been really fun.
I like playing solo golf.
I've met every group I played with. I played, what, eight times so far this season, and I've gone solo, I think, 6 of them.
Nice.
And I've had a blast. No, I've played 9 times, because I've played with a couple other guys 3 different times. So every group I've been in with has been awesome. It's been really cool to just go out there. Like, one guy I played with was a scratch golfer, and that was a little frustrating, just watching him hit.
Can be intimidating for sure. Although sometimes it makes you elevate your game a little bit too, if you're trying to keep up. And like, you're like, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to clear, you know, that creek 230 yards out. But it can push you a little bit too.
It was also like, it was fun to watch a guy just have a swing that pure.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, because if you've never played with somebody that good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have 2 friends that are around that area, and I do play with them, and I hate playing with them because they're so damn good.
Yeah.
But you just see a guy who, like, looks so unassuming.
Mm-hmm.
Found out later he was a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that makes sense. You know, same kind of hand-eye, you know, coordination kind of a deal. But his swing, like, it doesn't even look like he's swinging hard.
Yeah.
But everything is perfect rhythm, perfect tempo, perfect pacing, and it just, every time he hit the ball.
That's my dream.
It's
not the dudes who go out there and just absolutely mash, but there's this one dude, I think he's from Japan or Korea, that his viral video pops up on X or Twitter every now
Kawakami.
And then, where it's like, he just, like, it looks like he could fall asleep during his swing, and he just pipes. It's unbelievable.
You're talking about the dude at the range?
Yes.
Kawakami or Kawagiri or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We're talking about the same guy.
Yeah, but his swing is insane.
Yeah, and it's just soft and smooth.
The club looks like an extension of his body. Everything, like, works in concert, and you're just like, okay, stop. There's like a whole method behind his swing, and it's just, it's not like the prototypical golf swing, but it's like so pure and perfect. You're like, I want that. I want to be able to do that, but it's like, yeah, you don't have the hand-eye coordination or the flexibility or the motor skills to be able to even come close to replicating that.
So I don't know that people out there know this about you and I, but we've actually worked together a lot, just not in this capacity.
Here. Yeah.
So we've been at the same place of business for something like 5 or 6 years because Danny and I first crossed paths when we were both at NBC Sports Northwest doing Blazers coverage. I was producing, he was hosting Blazers Outsiders, and we met along the line there. But having not done this dynamic before, and I know you've kind of been like speed dating through this thing, I have come armed with a few icebreakers today.
There we go.
So the one I want to kick it off with, and Rusty, I want yours on this too. Perfect pizza topping. When you are making your own Danny pizza to order, what's going on it?
Look, I mean, everybody goes with pepperoni, but that's a standard.
And doesn't have to be one. You can throw two or three.
This is how I knew my wife and I, when we were dating, it was going to work. Like, this is such a stupid thing, but we've talked about this. We were going to have a movie night and we wanted to order pizza, and I'm thinking, oh God, what does she want? Like, is she going to want some stupid on here? You know what I mean? It's just like,
I hope it's not something I hate. Yeah.
She goes, how about pepperoni jalapeno? And I was like, we're good.
Solid.
Told the wife. And so pepperoni jalapeno, if like I have two pizzas that I go with, my always go with either pepperoni jalapeno or chicken and bacon.
Okay.
Those are like the two that I go with.
We'll do a chicken and bacon sometimes. If we do that, we'll go with like either a barbecue sauce or a ranch sauce.
I go with the barbecue sauce.
A lot of time what we do too is we'll hit the old Papa Murphy's, you know, good old Love It 425. Mm-hmm. And we'll do the cowboy, but with the creamy garlic sauce instead of red.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can dig it. I am from like childhood, my favorite pizza, and it's kind of remained the same. Not pepperoni, but salami. I tend to like the flavor of the salami just a little bit better.
I'm down.
Salami, sausage, mushrooms, and black olives.
Okay.
And mushrooms and black olives, not for everyone. Sometimes it's a texture thing. But
honestly, that's what I was raised on. My dad was pepperoni, mushrooms, olives. So like,
that's basically a cowboy pizza.
Essentially.
I'm 100% down with that. My mother-in-law, she has some dietary restrictions. Okay. And so we had an event at my in-law's a couple weeks ago. And she got like a smaller personal pizza, and there was broccoli on the pizza. And I was like, yeah, no, I can do a lot of things on pizza.
Sometimes it just doesn't feel right.
And it was just like, I was looking at it, it was like broccoli, cauliflower, peppers. And I'm like, she's vegetarian, or pescatarian. I can't remember one or the other.
Some Aryan.
Yeah, something around those lines. But I was just like, yeah, dog, I can't. Look, I've done the anchovies. Like, it's not my jam all the time, but like
not for me on pizza, but I'll do it with the Caesar.
Yeah, I mean that's fine. What else we got in there?
How about best sandwich, hot or cold? Or you can pick one of each, you know, because I almost count those as different categories. Like your cold deli sandwich versus you can have it any kind of hot
cold
sandwich.
Cold sandwich, undefeated. The Italian, okay. The Italian is undefeated. Salt and vinegar chips on the sandwich. That's my go to if I'm ever sandwiching. Hot sandwich though, I had a cheesesteak at McMiniman's, the Corny Alex Pass one, this weekend. And I forgot how much a really good cheesesteak is good.
That was going to be my number one hot sandwich pick.
It is.
Love the cheesesteak.
It is not. It's a heavier sandwich. Like, so it's one of those things,
for sure. It's a gut bomb.
Like, but it's like the occasional one, the cheesesteak really is just a banger. It's an absolute banger.
Yeah, one for me where I go, if I see it on the menu, it's always either a French dip or a Cubano.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm big on the Cubano. The French dip, I feel like, can be kind of it can be a little lacking if it's not done. Like, they're like, oh, we give it to you with the jus, so we don't have to do anything else with the sandwich.
Yeah.
That can happen, but
you got to have cheese on there.
A good French dip, yeah, pretty solid.
That's where the bread matters more.
You got to have a good crunch on the crust, mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it holds together.
And I like it with the horseradish.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at.
We will get to some more icebreakers coming up, but we do need to get to some sports. And there was a number of things that happened on the diamond last night, including when getting hit in the face is the most impressive thing you did. That's coming up. Danny and Friends, 1080 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. all you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to Danny and Friends. Silly me, I forgot it was a Wrestling Wednesday. Love Wrestling Wednesday.
Oh, absolutely.
And for me, this will be a little bit of an education too, because I definitely got into the wrestling craze as a kid, but it came on probably later than it should have. Most of my buddies were into it in like third, fourth grade. And whether it was because my parents didn't think it was the best television for me to be watching or other circumstances, I just didn't get into it till like sixth, seventh, eighth grade. It was like the NWO split with the Wolfpack.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone our age.
All that stuff and beyond in my wheelhouse, but a lot of that early stuff doesn't quite hit for me, so I might need the Jeff Rust historical reference from time to time.
That was a Big John stud there when he was at probably, early mid-80s. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got into it early when I was a little kid, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, and then kind of went away from it, and then in the era, the bad boy era, like that's the attitude era, that's when I really, I think we all did it some fashion or another. That was the interesting thing about wrestling, especially for our age range. No matter what you were into, whether you were a nerd, whether you're a jock, whether you're anywhere in between, whether you had nothing to do with sports and, you know, whatever, you still... It was so transcendent. You knew what it was.
It was an easy thread to connect everybody.
Yes.
Everybody could be a part of it. It was like, for being raw testosterone laced, it was still kind of for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, whether you like the bad guy, the good guy, the acrobatic guy.
It was
the
last
guy,
kind of bit of monoculture.
Yeah.
Really, like, it for whatever reason, like, you know, the canceling of it all, like Michael Jackson was the last artist that was like truly monoculture, just took over the world kind of a deal. I think that period of wrestling was like the last time, like you could talk about just men in general from like the ages of like 10 to 50 were all watching or at least partaking in that era of it in some form or fashion.
I did a little bit of butt kissing in my algebra class because my Midwestern middle-aged algebra teacher, Marjorie Yergin, she was a
big wrestling fan. And so every Tuesday after Raw and every, Friday or Thursday after Thunder or whatever, I would come in and I would shoot the breeze with her about the drama in the McMahon family or whatever. And I'm confident it upped my algebra grade that year.
Look, no one had to grease those wheels. That's something you need to learn and to understand, because, you know, that's people skills right there.
I don't want to be the person that says wrestling isn't a real sport, but let's pivot to some more traditional sports. And I want to talk about a couple things from the Diamond last night. More moments than anything else, but I saw something that impressed me so much. And I couldn't think of an instance of something so impressive that's such a negative thing to have happen to you. And that was George Kirby on the mound last night. Started the season on the IL. It has not been going well. He took an 11-4-2 ERA out there last night.
That's not very fun.
He was losing the game. He was pitching okay. And then 95 pitches in, he catches a 103-mile-an-hour line drive right back off his face. That sucks. I hope he's okay. It sounds like he's going to be. He didn't go down.
Yeah.
The guy got absolutely smoked, and he did not even go to a knee.
When you told me, I was like, oh, I missed that last night because I was golfing. And I pulled up the video clip, and in the first part of the clip is in slow-mo. And I think it's like a 96-mile-an-hour slider of all things. It's like, oh, my God, that thing's moving. And it's outside the zone, and he barrels it up right back up the middle, and it catches Kirby. I thought, like, oh, you know, if he catches, you know, it must have just glanced him if he didn't go down. No, dog. That thing caught him square on the jaw.
Yeah.
I mean, he's bloodied up afterwards. And it's like, how, number one, is he not hurt more? Like, how is he not busted
open?
How is
he not just laying on the ground?
How is the jaw not broken? How is their teeth not missing? How is, you know, the nose still attached, kind of a deal? And then you're like, how the hell did he not go down like a sack of bricks?
Yeah, it was... Listen, some baseball players tougher than others, and George Kirby just gets the hat tip from me now.
Is he a hockey player?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. We'll have to dig into his past and see what other sports he played.
Look, we always talk about tough guys in sports. There are no tougher athletes on this planet than hockey players.
I think so, too.
Like, you get guys who have literal, like, rows of teeth knocked out, jaws broken, noses broken, nasty lacerations that, like, they get stitched up in game, and they're not out for the game. They come back out and they've got, instead of having, you know, an open face, they've got a closed cage helmet now.
Dude will require like potentially a dozen stitches, and it's not whether I'm coming back, it's will I make my next shift.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
And you're just like, dude, I've never, I grew up with a few guys that ended up playing in the NHL for a long time.
Oh, wow.
And Paul Gostad went to Beaverton.
Okay.
Was a longtime center for the Buffalo Sabres, played for the Olympic team. He was their faceoff guy. I've never met a hockey player that had all their teeth. Not a single one.
I bet. Yeah, that tracks.
Like you see guys like Ovi. Ovi, like, he's missing like six.
Yeah, it's basically the front four plus a couple more.
Yeah, and you're just like, he does interviews like post game without his fake teeth in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all got the summer teeth. Some,
yeah.
Some are there, some ain't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, dude, you guys are nuts. And it's always funny when you see like injury reports in hockey, it's one of two things. Upper body, lower body.
That's right.
And that's all, you never know, like, it's like, and they play through basically everything.
All of it.
You're just like, there's something ingrained in them. And when you talk about, you know, the toxic masculinity or stuff like that, like, these guys are just taught from the time that they're 4 years old to play through it.
Well, they're the same guys, honestly, that get their bell rung and won't tell a soul.
No.
You know, and it's just, it's what the sport has bred to a degree. I do think the sport has done a lot better job trying to make it safer. You see way less fighting than you used to.
You don't get the cross checks to the head, the Sean Averys of the world.
Exactly. It doesn't make it a safe sport, but it does feel like they found a happy spot right now. And we'll get into it a little bit later, because we do get game one of the Stanley Cup final coming up tonight with the Oilers having the chance to break the Canadian drought of lifting Stanley's Cup.
We talked about it a little bit yesterday. If anybody in Canada is going to do it, I want it to be one of the lesser quote unquote Canadian teams, not the marquee franchises in Toronto and Montreal.
But by the same token, you have Connor McDavid, who is kind of a marquee guy.
Sure.
And so even
and
though
Dreisaitl,
and,
yeah.
Dreisaitl for sure, but I think that the way McDavid has been kind of painted as like the
face of the league.
That would be great for the NHL. Mm-hmm. It'd be great for hockey. We'll get into that a little bit more later. We're already up against it, so we're going to get on to our NBA Finals preview. I have some questions about this series. It seems like everything is stacked in the Oklahoma City favor. The analytics will tell you that. But what are the things that we don't know about this series? What are the different ways this series can play out? We'll discuss that coming up on Danny and Friends. But first, Rusty with SportsCenter.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to Danny and Dusty. Danny and Friends, today a Danny and Buck edition. And it's time for us to get into the NBA Finals. I know you've been doing so throughout the week, but before we do that, it's icebreaker time. What's your go-to sports movie, Danny?
Ooh, go-to sports movie.
Like, if you want to pop on one that is like an all-time favorite to just run it back, what are you throwing on there?
God, there's so many to go to, but Remember the Titans.
Okay.
Remember the Titans is so good. Just, there's so many people in that movie.
Yeah, the cast is unbelievable.
It's unreal. You get Left Side, Strong Side, Football Ain't Fun No More, is it? You know, Denzel is so good. I mean, Sunshine, mm-hmm. Sunshine. I mean, there's just so many incredible scenes in that movie. It's just, but it's also probably like the most unrealistic of like when they play the football.
Yeah, it's, sure. It's a Disney fight a little bit.
It is. And as much as it's god awful and nowhere near reality, Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, I remember that as a movie theater experience on the big screen with all the sound, and the way it felt like the way they shot that and edited that was different than anyone had done a football movie before.
It's an Oliver Stone movie, right?
That's right.
That's why it has that.
And it felt frenetic and violent, and it, at least for me as a teenage kid, like painted football in a way that I didn't really know it, and I'm like, this might not be real, but this is awesome.
I mean, the guy's eye getting gouged out, the eyeball on the turf. You're like, okay.
Yeah. Maybe not that part.
The Al Pacino speech, you know, is an absolute...
The 6 inches right in front of your face!
Just an absolute banger. Lawrence Taylor with a chop saw cutting a Hummer in half.
Cutting a Hummer in half, and then also knowing he could be on the verge of death with any hit, and then he goes out there anyways, and he goes, nah, I got my $1 million.
Yeah, just like, you know, now we look at that like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have done that. But it's a terrible movie, but I love it.
It's great. Rusty, what do you got? Sports movie?
You got like your Rocky movies.
Okay.
Those are, you know, upper pantheon for me. Major League is a classic.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I'm gonna have to throw Happy Gilmore in there too. I realize that might be a stretch on a sports movie.
No, nothing that gets in there. In fact, two sports. That's right. Hockey and golf. We were just talking about hockey. I'll go Miracle. I love the underdog story. Oh, yeah. I love the undertone of patriotism. I thought that the Kurt Russell,
Herb
Brooks
great.
Was so good. I love that movie. And then my underrated sports flick, Cinderella Man. Russell Crowe, Depression era boxing.
I've never seen that.
It's a really good movie. It is a true story about a guy who is down on his luck in the Depression, making fights to try to make ends meet for his family, and goes on to do amazing things. Really good. Russell Crowe, Renee Zellweger, Paul Giamatti is like the promoter in it. He's great. Worth a watch. Sure.
Text line, Sandlot. I mean, yeah. I mean,
that was my next like nostalgia pick.
Yeah, that's the thing is like when you're talking nostalgia picks, Sandlot, Major League.
Yeah.
I mean, Euchre in that is in Major League is to me like don't be wrong, Charlie Sheen and Wesley Snipes and all that. It's great, but it's about Bob Euchre.
Euchre makes the movie,
and it's about Pedro Serrano.
Yep. That's right.
Bat no light curveball.
Bat hit straight ball very far.
You trying to tell me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
I like the Jesus.
Let's get it.
Well, and apropos of nothing real quick here,
yeah.
Other than the fact that we mentioned Kurt Russell a minute ago, I saw a thing on the old interwebs the other day. The name of his stunt double in Escape from New York, and they showed a picture of them both with, you know, he's dressed as Snake Plissken with the eye patch. His stunt double's name... quite possibly the manliest name ever.
What do we got?
Dick Warlock.
Wow, that's great.
I hope that's his real name.
Right?
Like, it's not a stage name.
It's probably just Richard Warlock.
But I mean...
but Warlock just alone as a... Like, you got to go with you've the stunts or...
Well, you've got some options there. You can be Rich Warlock.
Uh-huh.
You can, or you can be Dick Warlock.
Yeah. Well, look, if your given name is Richard Warlock, there really is only one option.
Dick Warlock is the way to go.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the NBA Finals. I know that you guys have got to some of this week, and I feel like there are plenty of national storylines out there about this series that people have already beaten to the ground. Small markets.
Yeah.
OKC, lopsided favorites.
New champion, all those things.
All that, but I also think with each of these finals, even if we know how they're going to go, or you think you know how they're going to go, first of all, do you think that the Pacers can or win the series?
I think there is a path for them.
Okay.
I do, and maybe it's my blind optimism, faith, bias, because I love Halliburton. I'm literally wearing a Halliburton t-shirt right now.
Well, let's do that first then. What is the path for the Oklahoma City, or for the Pacers against the Oklahoma City Thunder?
The Pacers play at their frenetic pace, and they are disruptive enough of OKC that they can force them into a team that, you know, it's weird. OKC's offense is rated third in the league this year.
Mm-hmm.
But stylistically, they don't get to the all the way to the rim. Because Shea lives in that short paint area and then the mid-range, and J-Dub does a lot of the same. Chet spaces the floor. Isaiah Joe's a shooter. Caruso's really not a guy other than in transition that's going to finish at the rim. Same with Lu Dort. Like, as much as we talk about how this team is so diversified, it's really only two guys that can really put the ball down on the floor and hurt you, and that's Jalen Williams and Shea. And if the Pacers can turn them into a three-point variance team, because that's like three-point shooting can come and go. We've seen that demon hit the Celtics from time to time in a game.
Absolutely.
Because the Pacers need to find a way to steal a game.
Yeah.
I am of the mindset that if the Pacers are going to have a chance in the series, they have to steal one of the first two games.
Okay.
They have to get home court out of the way.
Sure.
Because OKC's home court is great. Nasty.
Best in the league, right?
It might be right now. I'm a little – I say that begrudgingly – because they pipe in more noise than anyone else in the
league. Realize that.
Them and San Antonio are 1-2.
Huh.
They're the loudest arenas in the league.
And you're allowed to? I know in the NFL they've banned that. The Colts and Falcons got in trouble for that.
Yeah, they pump in so much noise, and the PA guys are loud, obnoxious. But their crowd, it's
legit
on 10 the entire time. So like I do have to give them that credit. But beyond that, in the two times that the Pacers and the Thunder played this year, Halliburton had two of his lowest usage ratings of the season.
Okay.
But the Thunder played without Chet. And it's like, okay, you know, how do they kind of fit him in there? How does that work? It's like it's an embarrassment of riches to a point.
Sure.
When you're talking about how good they were even before Chet came back fully healthy after the hip injury. But I look at Halliburton's got to be the guy that he's been consistently through the playoffs.
Right.
Like he's going to have one of those nights where he has like 9 points.
But he's got to stay on that general level.
But he's got to be the 20-10 guy, and he's got to do it with efficiency, and he's got to keep the pace. But the guy that's singularly most important is who's the guy that guards Pascal Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was Mark Dagnall, I would probably flip my bigs and I'd try to put Hartenstein on Siakam because Siakam wants to go to the rim more,
right,
where he could probably bully Chet. And even though Chet's long and he can block shots, I think you want to have him more as a rover, and you want to turn, if you're the OKC, you want to turn Miles Turner into a volume shooter from three. And
sure.
Now, don't get me wrong, he can get hot, and he's a good enough shooter out there. You do have to worry about him.
But you're more comfortable with him beating you than others?
Than Siakam, because Siakam is the guy. You know, remember, Siakam, he wasn't a huge part of that Raptors team, but he won a title with the Raptors. Like, he knows what this looks like.
Yep.
He's not unfamiliar. He's an all-NBA guy.
And he played great in the last round.
That's that's why he got the Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
Yeah.
You know? Did you see that clip where Halle thought he won it.
By the way, as a Halliburton for series MVP better, mm-hmm. I didn't love that.
He definitely looks around like, yeah, it's me. And then they say,
he's
Pascal.
He's about to walk up there to accept the trophy.
But he did the right thing. He's a tough teammate and all that. But I look at Pascal Siakam's got to be huge for them. And then, they always talk about the others in the series. Your stars have to show up, but Nesmith's going to have a game. Mm-hmm. Nembhard's going to have mm-hmm. a game. TJ McConnell's going to have a game. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to have to, like, because OKC is relentless with their pressure,
mm-hmm.
that if you're the Pacers, you have to find a way to get those easy buckets that you've gotten all playoffs long, where OKC is really good about not allowing that to happen.
Yeah, and I read a lot and hear a lot about OKC's pressure and just how much they're turning people over. How much does that affect what Indiana wants to do?
And that's a huge part of it. So one of the things that the Pacers are kind of, proud about this year, it's not just the, I heard Kirk Goldsberry and Zach Lowe talking about this earlier this week, and it's been kind of the thing that in the analytics community, the Pacers, yes, they play with pace, but it's how they play with pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad to see the broadcast highlight the basketball stuff. And, against the Knicks, so much of it was about they score off of makes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's really interesting is, and this gets kind of into the weeds, but in basketball, off of makes, when you can capitalize the most, if a team spreads the floor and their big is in the corner and their point guard or their lead ball handler is finishing at the rim,
can beat those guys down the floor.
Guess who your first two guys are supposed to be back?
Yeah.
Your big guy.
Your
big under the rim to push things back out, and usually one of your lead guards to pick up the ball first.
Yep.
And so what the Pacers do is Jalen Brunson spends a ton of time in the paint and Cat flares out to the wings. And so what they would do is, like, Obi Toppin or Pascal Siakam, they're going.
Yep.
Like,
at the end of that series.
As soon as that ball, not up in the air, but you're pretty sure. You're starting to lean. And Chauncey Billups has a line that I think is really great. Is what they enforce with the Blazers. What will make a break, a transition opportunity, either defensively or offensively, the first three steps. And if whoever hits the first three steps back the fastest, that opens it up. And what the Pacers do, it's not just Halliburton. It's the whole bleeping team.
Mm-hmm.
If you flatten out your offense, especially late in the clock, whether it's a miss or a make, they're going.
Yeah.
And if they can continue to do that, because what that does is twofold. One, you can't hit the offensive glass as hard unless you're an ungodly great offensive rebounding team, and the Thunder are not. So
right.
I don't think it's something they're going to rely on.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you have to have it in your head of, like, once the ball goes up, you got to find a body.
Yeah.
And that like mental wear and tear of doing that for 110 possessions, you're bound to get got.
Yeah.
And so you got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. And I'm like, if I'm the Pacers, that's the thing. If I can continue to do that, that is something that you can fall back on, because that's not something they've done in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's something they've done now for 90 games.
Yeah.
Or what, 100 games damn near now.
It's a tall task for the Pacers, but the way you outline it, it doesn't seem impossible. Unlikely, probably.
It's unlikely. Don't get me wrong.
The Thunder are the third highest favorite
in the modern era.
Yep. Yep. And I heard this stat come in today too. Only two teams seated outside of the top three have ever won the NBA championship. That would be the Rockets team from 95-96 that traded for Clyde Drexler midseason, and then you got to go all the way back to the 60s and one of the Celtics.
This would be a monumental upset. I mean, the Mavs upsetting the Heat were the last time we had a monumental upset. You could maybe say the Cavs coming back from, 3-1 as being one of the biggest upsets in NBA history. I don't think it'll be something like that, because if this series gets to 3-1, OKC's gonna.
Yeah, because then they're coming back home for five, and yeah.
Good luck. Then that's why they have to steal that game, and then if you don't hold it home, you got to at least split it home.
We'll talk about betting angles a little bit later, because I like to look at everything sports through that lens, and I think there's some interesting propositions out there for how this series script runs. We'll get to that in the third hour of the show. But coming up next, Tibbs is out in New York. Should the Knicks give Peace a chance?
Mm.
Danny and Friends, 1080 The Fan. Welcome back to Danny and Dusty. Danny and Friends, a Danny and Buck edition today. Coming up next hour, we'll of course have the worst day on the web for you. But something I saw on the interwebs post Tibbs firing out of New York, one man has thrown his hat in the ring to save the team. His name, Meta World Peace. He has
Coach Meta. Coach Peace? Coach World Peace?
I would like it to be Coach Peace or Coach World Peace, but he has changed his Twitter alias to Coach Meta. Mm. And he tweets, Meta is the perfect choice for the head coach of the New York Knicks. Since 1999, this was supposed to happen. I've never ran from the city. When all the top players left NYC because it was hard, I went to St. John's basketball. I wanted to be drafted by the Knicks. I seem to be the only one unafraid of the city. I'm built to challenge the city. I'm the number one guy for the job. I have 360-degree experience.
Here's, we talk about like MSG and New York and the Mecca and Rucker Park and New York legends. Who's the last guy to like come out of New York? Like real, like
boy,
it's because you had Telfair and you had Marbury and you had Artest.
And, yeah,
it's been a while. But he is New York. Like he's
New York
through and
hoops
through
culture for sure.
New York
for sure. Was he always say Queensbridge?
Yes.
That's his spot that he was always shouting out in post-game interviews. Obviously, Meta World Peace not likely to be the Knicks' next head coach.
Although, who the hell are they going to go with?
That's kind of my question for you. Not that you have a crystal ball to look into, but I've now seen rumblings that a lot of the stars there had been angling to get Tibbs out for a while, and two, that they're really keen on Steve Nash. Is that something that would make any fit? How much runway do you give the players to have an opinion on this going forward?
What, right now, Steve Nash is doing the exact thing you should do to become a head coach, which is hop on LeBron James's podcast. It worked out really well for JJ Redick.
It sure did.
But I also think Nash is a brilliant basketball mind.
Mm-hmm.
The part of the, it not working in Brooklyn with him was his refusal to play another player's friend. And the same thing happened with Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
Their refusal to play DeAndre Jordan because DeAndre Jordan was no longer good. And they had a guy named Jared Allen who was a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that caused friction among a million other things. You talk about KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. But I think Nash could be a great coach, and he's definitely going to have the respect. Like that's like it's the Chauncey Billups thing. Like
sure.
you're one of them once.
Yeah, you've done this as well as anyone else. So therefore, everyone believes that you can lead and all of that.
And he didn't come into the league as a star. He had to kind of earn his stripes, and then had multiple MVP or MVP years, and he's got the bona fides. Now, what would his offensive system be? And this is the thing that I always talk about when you're talking about coaches and fit and like getting guys to make sense. is Jalen Brunson going to turn into some version of 6 seconds or less Suns?
That's not his game.
That's not his game. And like, how do you adapt that? And how do you get Karl Anthony Towns to fit? And how do you, you've got two, you know, negative defenders in Brunson and Kat. So can you play a system that makes sense for you offensively that also feeds into your defense? Like, you can't play a style of defense that is, you know, you look at OKC and like, oh, they do it. And I'm like, well, they do it differently. Like, they're aggressive.
Really aggressive.
They're hyper-aggressive, but they're not hyper-aggressive offensively.
Right.
Like, don't get me wrong, they get out in transition, but they're not a team that it's not like, you know, you're a Warriors guy. They're not going to get out there and move off the ball, you know, and get into a ton. Like, when you think of OG Anunoby, is that a guy you think about cutting effortlessly all game long?
No.
Bridges, sure.
Yeah.
So you've got one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is Kat,
but that's not their collective style.
No, and is Kat a guy who's going to be a blocker mover type? No. Like, he's a 7 foot, 270 pound big. Like, yeah, he can shoot the living hell out of the ball, and he plays in the post. But you look at your two best offensive players, they want to play in the half court.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole idea of like, oh, if they get a coach, they got to get, you know, they got to get better with what the things they do.
X's you better find someone who meshes.
Like, you got to find somebody that can highlight two guys that aren't going to be hyperactive in the half court. They want to be on the ball more. And they're like, well, you need OG to move off the ball more. I'm like, no, you don't get guys and go, hey, this thing that you do, we're going to ask you to do something different. Like, that's the whole point. That's like, firing Tibbs to me is not enough. If you're going to fire Tibbs and you're going to go a different direction,
you got to make a bigger change.
You got to move Kat. Like, that to me is like, if you want to fire Tibbs, fine. I don't agree with it because he's been the best coach you've had in a literal quarter of a century.
Yep.
And you've achieved more success than you have in a quarter of a century. If you think you're just going to bring in a coach and that's just going to change things, especially either a young coach or a first-time head coach,
mm-hmm.
good freaking luck.
Well, with a guy who in Kat, who now people are saying wasn't buying in on the defensive end, wasn't fully committed to the things that Tibbs wanted to do.
Oh, no way. The same guy that wasn't committed to the exact same things that he wasn't committed to?
The exact same coach in the last city?
Yeah, yeah. It's like shocking.
So what's going to, like you said, what's going to change? And you might need to change out one of those pieces.
Like, again, firing Tibbs and then running it back mostly the same, good luck. But if you're also going to make a pretty sizable roster move, okay, I get it. But then, are you going to have the coach in place and he's going to have his feedback on what guy they should go get
right.
that helps it make sense? Or do you make that move and then hire a coach? Because here's the thing, as we get closer and closer to the draft and the transaction cycle and free agency, you want to have your coach in place because their guys are going to get gobbled up.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're stuck with either who's unemployed or trying to pry somebody who just took a job with somebody else, which... it does happen, but extremely rare.
No, but it feels like picking a chef for your restaurant and then handing them the bag of ingredients and say, cook this. And you're like, well, wait, but my style as a chef is this type of cuisine, and I'm not used to working with this.
Yeah,
so, like, what do you do?
And that's the part of this. And, you know, I've heard that, you know, Johnny Bryant, who used to be on Tibbs' staff, was a finalist for the Suns job. The Suns opted to go with Jordan Ott. But... you know, that's a guy that they're familiar with.
Yep.
So I could see him going down that path. And I've heard people's Frank Isola yesterday said that the Knicks are looking at Jason Kidd.
Okay.
Which I'm sure Mavs fans are thrilled about because they want him gone.
Okay.
So
I'm looking at an odds list here, too. Mm-hmm. And I think the odds list can often tell you just who may be close or who may be in discussions. The top one on the list is Michael Malone, plus 150.
Which, again, is Michael Malone this huge offensive guru?
It seems like you're bringing in a different version of Tibbs. Like, cut from the same cloth.
If I'm not mistaken, Tibbs or Malone is a New York guy too.
Mm-hmm. But you mentioned Johnny Bryant; he's on there plus 350, mm-hmm. Associate head coach for the Cavs. Jay Wright is a name that we've seen popping
he's
up.
He's not coming back to coach,
and that may be the case. But I want to hear you. I wanted to hear you say it.
Yeah,
and
no, I mean,
like, you go further down the odds board though. Dan Hurley.
Nah, I don't think he. Like, he's the king of the castle at UConn, and he just got that bump on his contract. Like, the Knicks could buy him out, sure, but.
Let me rapid fire you a couple more. The Steve Nash, by the way, 100-1 odds on that.
That's pretty far out there.
Monty Williams, Taylor Jenkins, Budenholzer, Rick Brunson, Jalen's daddy, and John Calipari, all 20-1. Any of those make any sense?
No.
Jeff Van Gundy, 25-1.
I could honestly, I could see that, but also Jeff is super close with Tibbs. I don't know if he takes that job out of respect for him.
Sam Cassell's another name that's been getting
big ball. Sam, look, Sam has been in the coaching cycle for what feels like a decade now. And the fact that he hasn't gotten a head coaching gig has been surprising to me at multiple turns. Because around the league, I've never heard somebody say things to me about Sam that I was like, oh, I get it. It's usually like, he should be head coach. So maybe there's something there that I don't know.
And not saying that he is like, but people had those same questions about Eric Bieniemy for, why is he not getting a head coaching game? He seems so great. There was something there with Bieniemy.
We all know why.
Yeah.
He's a giant a-hole.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Cassell is that. No, and I've never heard that
people
about Sam.
Don't really know why Sam hasn't gotten that shot yet, and maybe this is his first
Maybe
one.
He's not great in interviews.
Possible.
Like, there's plenty of guys that are like that don't have necessarily the charisma up there in interviews, but also Sam Cassell is known synonymously with big balls.
Yep, that's right.
That's all the charisma I need.
And isn't that a fit for New York City? Gotta love
it. Brunson hits a game winner and Sam Cassell just goes on the floor and they both start doing the big balls dance?
Speaking of Major League.
I mean, you got no marbles.
That's right. We got to turn the page. Want to talk a little bit of football. Coming up, what team or player do you want the real behind-the-scenes story about? We did get a peek behind the curtain from a franchise here in the Northwest about a fight in the locker room, and it's juicy. That leads off hour number two. Danny and friends right here, 1080 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.